This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pasca.
Raider Nation, what's up? We are back in the Beat Laboratory, 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway in Alameda. Eddie Pascal, your host of the official Raiders podcast, and special edition this week, we just got back from the owners' meetings in Orlando. A jam-packed 2 days, a busy 2 days, an early 2 days, a long 2 days. It was a lot. We got a lot done. It was good, tons of content, but yeah, man, it was just a lot going on. So quick backstory before we get into it. So Marcus and I, producer Marcus, flew from here to Orlando for the owners' meeting. And I always say, I joke, whenever we travel, right, there's always something that happens. Like, I'm never bored. I've never been bored here a day since I started working. So we're flying. Quick story. We're flying. We take off. Normal flight. It's, I don't know, like, what, almost a six-hour flight, five and a half hours. And we're flying out there. And we're about 2 hours out, maybe a little less than 2 hours. And all of a sudden, like something out of a movie, the flight attendant rings the little bell, rings it again. She hops on the intercom. She goes, "Hey there, not to alarm anyone, but is there a doctor on board?" And I'm kind of like in between naps, or I had to listen to my podcast, whatever. I come back and she's like, "Yeah, you know, not to alarm anyone. Is there a doctor on board?" So no one says anything. And I notice the flight attendants now, three or four of them, are now running down the aisle. And one of them has, it looks like those defibrillator paddles. The other one has a big oxygen tank, like not like the little ones where the masks drop down, like a big legitimate oxygen tank like you'd see in a hospital. And so I'm like, oh man, like this is obviously pretty serious. This is a serious deal. And so I wake Marcus up. I go, "Marcus, how far away are we from landing?" He's, less than 2 hours. So my first thought is like, number one, like, oh my God, I hope this guy's okay. Like, I hope nothing's wrong with him. And he's about six people in front of us, six rows. So it's like right there. We're right in kind of the splash zone. So they're all attending him, you know, doing their whole thing. Flight attendant gets back on the monitor. "Hey, do we have a doctor on board? We're looking for a doctor, an EMT, anyone. Like, we got anything going on?" Long story short, two people get up and it's a doctor and a guy who, I think he was an EMT, I'm not 100% sure, but they come and they take care of this guy, and it was a happy ending. He was just an older guy who, his blood pressure dropped, and he ended up passing out on the plane for a couple minutes, and the EMT was telling me when we landed, he goes, "You know, it's actually a little more common than you would think, especially in older people, for that kind of stuff to happen." And I was very startled by that. I mean, And I said, like, I've had a lot of stuff flying, right? I've had a plane. When I was in college one time, I was flying back home, and the plane I was on, there was smoke coming from the engine, so we had an emergency landing with the police and the fire department and that whole deal, and there's always something that happens. But this was my first medical emergency, so shout out that doctor, shout out that EMT. I'm glad that our friend made it. And it wasn't a precursor for what happened in the trip once we landed in Orlando. When we got to Orlando, everything was smooth sailing. So let me just set the scene for you, kind of. So it's Marcus and I. We're at the Ritz-Carlton in Orlando, and it's pretty much the who's who of the NFL. So all the NFL owners are there, obviously, is the owners' meeting. All the GMs, all the head coaches, your Schefters, your Ian Rappaports, your Jay Glazers. You know, everyone's kind of there hanging out in this, you know, big, really fancy hotel. And you walk around, and it's kind of like a surreal thing, right? Because it's not like a super crowded, populated event. So, the last time we saw these guys was at the Combine, and the Combine is now turning into this huge event, right? There's, you know, ESPN's there, NFL Network's there. It's this whole deal. And it very much feels kind of like a pre-draft sort of deal, but that's not what the owners' meetings are like at all. It's very low-key, very relaxed. You know, everyone's kind of lets their guard down a little bit, and it's a little more friendly and opening. But it's crazy, like walking around the hotel, we're taking the elevator up to our room to go grab dinner, and we're just on the elevator with Mike Vrabel, and he's chatting with us, and it's an interesting experience to see these guys, these head coaches, all these people we see on Sundays doing their thing, kind of like just normal dudes, you know, hanging out, shooting the breeze, and it's definitely kind of a trip. But Like we said, strictly business while we were there. It was a short trip. We were on the ground, I think, a little over 36 hours. Probably spent more time traveling, to be honest with you, than we were on the ground in Orlando. But we got a lot of stuff done. We talked with Reggie McKenzie. We talked with Coach Gruden. We talked with a bunch of analysts. Like, it was just a packed 36 hours. And so I'll start with Reggie because he was the first guy that we talked to. He, you know, in speaking with him, the buzzword that kind of seemed to be around, the one thing that he kept coming back to and back to and back to, is competition. And we signed almost 20 guys since the start of the league year. So in the past 2 weeks, this roster has been reshaped, retooled, whatever. And a lot of that obviously has to do with the team going 6-10 last year. You know, you have a 6-10 team, you know, it's not gonna get the job done. But a lot of it also has to do with Gruden. Coach wants to have his own guys that fit his system, fit his scheme. And it's been Reggie's job to go out and get those guys. And in talking with him, he kept saying, look, every position, every guy on this team, they're going to earn it. There's going to be competition from number 1 to number 90. I don't care if you're Derek Carr. I don't care if you were a guy that was on the practice squad last year. You are going to fight and you are going to earn every rep that you get. And so I think in talking to the GM, like, you love to hear that, right? Because you think of some of these guys that, you know, maybe aren't the flashiest signings. You know, a guy like a Griff Whalen, you know, a new long snapper, you know, Derek Carrier, a blocking tight end. Like, these aren't, you know, your Ndamukong Suhs, your Jarvis Landrys, your Odell Beckham Jr.'s, right? These are guys that, you know, are flying a little under the radar unless you're a diehard, you know, we'll use Derek Carrier, unless you're a diehard Rams fan. Like, I don't know if you necessarily know who this guy is. And Reggie was saying, I know that a lot of these guys aren't your household names. He goes, but you need guys like this to win. You need guys that are going to push players around them, guys that are going to make the people in their position groups better. And if that, you know, if a guy like Derek Carrier, if he plays 10 snaps a game, great. You know, if he ends up being your primary tight end, I mean, also great. But he's going to be a guy, just like, you know, from top to bottom, this class, of guys that are really going to push the position group. And like I said, coming off a 6-10 season, that's exactly what you need. You need guys to push each other. Because look, 6-10 isn't going to get it done. You got a new head coach. I am 100% certain that John Gruden did not come out of the Monday Night Football booth. He did not leave that awesome job to go 6-10. I promise you that. So that was good to hear from Reggie. And like I said, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Coach Gruden too. So obviously the big thing that Coach Gruden had to do during the owners meeting, he had an hour-long media session, an hour-long media breakfast on Tuesday morning. But before his media breakfast on Tuesday, we had a chance to sit down and talk with Coach. And we hit on a variety of things. Obviously free agency being one, all the new guys on the roster, and kind of what to expect from this group of guys in 2018.
So Coach, it feels fitting to be up this early with you. It's 6:45 here on the East Coast, but everyone on the West Coast is sleeping, but we're up getting to work.
That's what the Raiders do, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. So obviously this team has gone over such an overhaul the past week, 10 days, 17 new guys as of now on the roster. So just kind of what have been your thoughts on this free agency class coming in?
Well, first of all, we had a lot of needs. We had a lot of needs to address, and free agency is one vehicle to do that. But we were able to add a lot of different players that play a lot of different positions. And I think we're fortunate to have Reggie, and we go way back to our Tennessee days, and we also worked together in Green Bay. But he's flexible. I think you got to be flexible as a head coach these days. You have to adapt to who's available and how much you need to pay him. It's not like it's a perfect world, but you got to react quickly. I think we've proven that we can do that. And just anxious for the years ahead with him.
You know, obviously here in Orlando, the other 31 coaches and GMs and owners all here. Does seeing these guys get your competitive juices flowing a little bit? When you see the coach of the Denver Broncos walking down the hall, does that get you going?
You just say the word Denver Broncos, man, I get going. I see Andy Reid of the Chiefs, Coach Lynn of the Chargers, the AFC West traditional battles are always exciting. But seeing my brother, Sean McVay, Shanahan, all the guys that were on my staff, Mike Tomlin, it's been pretty cool.
Have you had that moment yet, now that we're a couple months into this, where you sit back and you go, okay, I'm back. I'm back in the fold.
I have that moment every day I wake up. I say, man, this is awesome. I'm really excited for April 9th. I haven't had a chance to even really meet our team yet. As crazy as it sounds, I've been a head coach for almost 70 days and haven't been able to sit down with any of my players yet. So that's what I'm most excited about, the opening of the off-season program, where I can officially sit down in a meeting with our guys and start talking Raider football.
April 9th, right? That's the day that we've had circled on the calendar since you got here. What's it going to be like to address the team, that first team meeting when you sit down and you look these guys in the eyes and you address your group of men as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders once again?
Well, it'll be exciting. We're not going to say too much on April 9th. Biggest thing we're going to do is introduce Tom Shaw, our new strength coach. He's outstanding. There's a different program in the weight room this year. We're going to address that, and we're going to hit the field hard, working out, running, lifting weights. And then we get into some technical football as we start teaching our system. It's time to get to work, and let's start putting this team together.
How excited are you to work with the Beast, Marshawn Lynch?
I am excited. Archie's excited to see the Beast back in silver and black. He's one of Oakland's finest. We brought in Tom Cable, his ex-offensive line coach. I think that'll help him. And Breno Giacomini, an ex-Seattle Seahawk right tackle, is in the fold as well. So he's got some familiarity around him. And I think with Doug Martin and our two young halfbacks, I think we have the ability to service them. We also got Keith Smith, a very good fullback from the Dallas Cowboys, who will be the lead back.
You know, so sitting in your office right now, you know, on these days, what's you know, take me through a morning in Coach Gruden's office. What are you up to?
Man, we get in there early. You got to prepare for the morning meeting. So you got to get in there early, that's 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever it is. And we have an offensive staff meeting, usually right now from 7 till noon. Then you got to go downstairs, get a workout. You got to get in shape. And then from about 1:15, 1:30 till 6 o'clock, we work on the college draft. And it's a grind. It's a daily process. You have to entertain free agents. Obviously, these cell phones work. You got to call the agents. You got to recruit them. You got to beg them. You got to do whatever it takes to get some transactions done. But every day has been a grind, and that's what I love the most about being back with the Raiders.
So what would your message be to the Raider Nation right now leading in to the NFL?
Just get ready. You know, do your sit-ups, do your push-ups, work on your vocal cords. Have faith that we're doing everything we can to bring you the best product on the field possible. I think you're going to love our coaching staff. I think you're going to love the way we play, but we got to prove it. But we're going nowhere without the Raider Nation.
I like that. Couldn't have said it better myself. Appreciate the time, Coach.
Thank you, Mac.
So, yeah, huge thanks to Coach for taking a couple minutes to chat with us. Obviously, a busy time of the year for him and, you know, rebuilding this roster, getting ready for April 9th, like he said, the start of the offseason workout program, which is going to be a huge couple weeks for this team, for Silver and Black Productions, for Raider Nation. It's exciting. It's our first chance we're going to see these guys back in the building. Also, while we were in Orlando, speaking of Coach Gruden, we spent a little time with someone who knows Coach probably better than most any other NFL player. We sat with Chris Sims, who now obviously works for Bleacher Report, NBCSN, doing his analyst deal. He hosts a really great podcast himself. So before he was an analyst, a guy who spent his weekends breaking out X's and O's, Chris Sims was a young quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and his head coach, yep, you guessed it, Coach Gruden. And so we talked with Chris, and I said, Chris, you know, what would your advice be to Derek Carr? You know exactly the shoes that he's in right now. You've been through this. You've seen this movie with Coach Gruden as a quarterback and, you know, him being your head coach. So what would you tell Derek for him to get ready in 2018?
I would tell him, get ready. That's what I would tell him, because it's just going to be knowledge galore being thrown at him. He's going to learn more football this offseason under John Gruden than he ever has in any offseason maybe put together. And then he better get ready for intensity and emotions, okay? Because that's the other thing I can promise you John Gruden's going to bring to the table. He comes into the office at 4:30 in the morning every day ready to go. He's the mad scientist. That's what I call him. And I just think that the one thing you got to be ready for is he's going to demand greatness out of Derek Carr in the meeting room, on the field. He's not going to settle for anything less. And Derek, just deal with him yelling at you from time to time. He's yelling at you because he likes you a lot. Like, that's why. If he doesn't yell at you, that means he doesn't like you. That's when you know there's trouble.
And so many people we've talked to, the thing that they bring up all the time, we hear over and over, is the verbiage of the playbook.
Sure.
The playbook is 1,000 pages long, and a simple run to the right is 47 words. So what would an example of a call in a Gruden playbook be compared to something, say, in someone else?
Well, it certainly is more. I'll say this right here. I just had a conversation with John Gruden, and he told me that that's been the big thing he's done since he last coached me or left Tampa, is that he's condensed the verbiage of his offense. So I guess you're going to see more of that. But, yes, as compared to other offenses I was in, Certainly one of the most complex and definitely maybe the most long-winded at time, because Gruden, of course, is very detailed, as you guys are finding out, and he wants everybody to know their specific job. But a play might be, you know, hey, we're going to go dummy snap count, west right slot, Z counter orbit, 72 Z bingo U split. We're going to can it with 58 Lexus, and I want to apple it with 314 hammer on one, dummy snap count on one, ready, break. That's how we do it.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, regurgitate that. What did I say? Say that again.
I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, so much of the quarterback position is the room, right? Yeah. Derek's going to be the guy. There's no question Derek's the guy for 2018, 2019, hopefully for the next decade,
right?
But coaches really kind of rebuilt the room, too. Connor Cook's still there. EJ Manuel re-signed to a one-year deal. And a guy like Josh Johnson. So how important is it to have that room in place to really give Derek that kind of environment to grow and, you know, kind of help him through this first year?
Yeah, I think it's vital. And first of all, you need to have a nice working environment, even though you might be competing against people, to still have guys in a room that you know are professional and they're all on the same page about making the team as a one common goal better, right? And I think it really Gruden's the kind of guy, he's going to look to have a little bit of everything in his quarterback room. Okay, I got my starter, my stud, Derek Carr. Got a young guy with some potential and a Connor Cook, right? Josh Johnson, I'm going to bring him in here because he knows the Gruden family. He knows the system. He can be a guy to lean on. And then and then EJ Manuel, where you go, ooh, there's some potential there too. Another big guy, big arm, can run, can do some things off schedule. So I really think, first of all, like I've said, he's a mad scientist. He's not going to let anybody just have a cakewalk at any position. He's going to make every position on the field have to compete against other guys to earn that spot. But I think when the four guys he's got in that room are professional, know what to do on a day-to-day basis, and they all can add their own little element to make the group better.
You know, and these quarterbacks, they certainly have their fair share of weapons to go to on the outside. Obviously, Michael Crabtree out,
yep.
Jordy Nelson in, you got Amari Cooper. Jordy in particular, you know, even approaching the latter stages of his career, we hear all the time that he makes himself very friendly to quarterbacks. What does that kind of mean?
I think he's on the same page as the quarterbacks. He's understanding what the coverage is. He knows, okay, I'm supposed to sit here, but there's a guy sitting in my hole or my zone that I'm supposed to, so let me slide over. Just basically making common sense. He's a big target. I think that's another thing that's always friendly to a quarterback, because it does give you a little more room for error. Oh, I threw it 4 feet wide or 3 feet wide this way. He's a big guy. He can still catch it. I think those are all the things. And then being a route runner that has great body language, I think that's the other thing you hear about when you hear a friendly wide receiver to a quarterback. He has body language that over repetition, the quarterback knows, like, ooh, when he does this, he's about to break this way, or when he does this, he's about to break that way. And that can lead the quarterback to make a decision or throw the ball with anticipation quicker, which then can lead to more success in the passing game.
You know, when Coach spoke at the combine, he had that comment that kind of has been going around. I'm bringing the old school football back. We're throwing it back to 98. And
right.
Look at what he's done in free agency, right? Signed Lee Smith, the blocking tight end, signed another blocking tight end, signed a fullback, brought Dud Martin back. In a perfect Gruden offense, is that what he really wants to do, is pound the rock, pound the rock, pound the rock?
That was our saying. That was what we called it in Tampa, pound the rock. You know, again, you know, look at a guy that's also, he's very close to in the coaching world, Sean Payton. Sean Payton runs the ball. You know, I know they're known for their passing, but the one thing that I think Coach Gruden always did really well, and some of the other great offensive coordinators in the sport do, is they run the ball. It might not always be with success, but they're going to make you at least take into an account and not become one-dimensional. They're going to run it. They're going to stay patient with it because it helps their offense. It helps the offensive line. It slows down pass rushers. And most importantly, it sets up other big play opportunities off of the play action, where it's where you see a majority of big plays happen in the pass game in the NFL.
If Coach wants to pound the rock, pound the rock, pound the rock, probably not a better guy to do that with than Marshawn Lynch either.
What? Oh, my gosh. I wish I could be in the first few meetings that Gruden's in after, like, Marshawn has one of his, like, beast quake runs. I mean, he is going to be slobbering all over Marshawn Lynch because he's going to love him. Marshawn is a physical specimen that just doesn't come around all that often. So to be that big and physical and that quick and have people bounce off you. And then, of course, he's got a little edge to him, which I know Coach Gruden likes. I just think it's, like, the perfect marriage.
All right, so I'll get you out of here on this. For Derek Carr to be successful in 2018, for the Raiders to find some success, what needs to happen?
Well, I think the first thing is his health. But I think just in general, listen to John Gruden, execute the offense. That's really what I would say is going to be the biggest thing. Just listen to what he tells you. He's going to teach you all the right things, all the keys to look for. know the offense like the back of your hand, so you can get out of the huddle quickly so he's not yelling at you, hurry up, tempo, because that's what you're going to hear a whole lot of. But all of those things, and then knowing the offense too, so he can, you got to line up here. There's going to be a receiver or running back who's going to break the huddle and go, oh, wait, what is this? And you got to be able to just on the fly go, oh, no, you got this here right there. So he's got to be that ultimate general and just have thick skin, big Derek Carr, and kick some butt.
So one more, sorry. Yeah. As far as Tatum's going in the NFL, that Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson is probably pretty hard to beat, isn't it?
It's pretty strong. It's up there. I mean, listen, again, Jordy, I don't think we've seen the real Jordy because he's really kind of just getting back from that ACL injury that he got a few years back. I think this is the year we're going to see more of the Jordy Nelson we knew before that ACL injury. But, yes, you got a little bit of both. Amari Cooper, I mean, he is Hall of Fame type talent. There's no denying that. If he can just limit the drops and some of those things that he's had issues with, man, you got a guy that's big and smart and good route runner on one side, and then you got an Amari Cooper who is just an ultimate physical talent who's smart and can run routes and can run by you. Yeah, you're going to have your work cut out for you if you're a defensive coordinator.
So, yeah, big shout-out to Chris Sims for taking the time to kick it with us at the owners' meetings. And, you know, one thing before we kind of move on is I was talking to Chris after the interview, and we were kind of just talking about everything that Gruden brings to the table, what Derek should expect. And one thing that he told me that really stuck out, he goes, look, you know, Derek is going to be inundated with information, right? He is going to have so much information at his hands, at his fingertips. He goes, you know, for a quarterback, like, yes, that can be overwhelming. It can be kind of nerve-wracking. You have so much going on. I got to get the play calling. I got to do this. I got to do that. But at the same time, he goes, Derek will never be more prepared come Sunday. He goes, when he gets to the line of scrimmage, he is going to know exactly what to do for not only exactly what he sees, but for seven different variations of how that could change once he gets to the line. He goes, coach is going to have him. There's going to be a plan A. There's going to be a plan B. There's going to be a plan C, D, and E. Like, there is nothing that he's going to see that he's not going to be prepared for. So I thought that was just a little quick, interesting bite that didn't make it in the interview, but I think certainly says something about, you know, this relationship that Derek and Coach Gruden are going to have going forward. So that's it. Thank you to Chris Sims. Thank you to Coach Gruden. That's it for this edition of the Official Raiders podcast. And don't look now, but April 9th is pretty soon on the calendar here. So, like I said, started the off-season workout program. We're going to have a ton of really good content coming from Silver and Black Production, Raiders.com, Raiders social media. You guys know that. You know where to follow us. But, yeah, and don't look now either. We're less than a month out from the start of the 2018 NFL Draft in Arlington, where the Silver and Black will pick number 10 overall. So, like I said, thank you to our guests. Thank you to producer Travis, producer Marcus. It's been a good podcast, and we will catch you guys on the other side.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.